Hello, this is Kathleen, and today, Wednesday, August 19th, I'll be reading to you from the Daily News of Newburyport. ICE agents storm Newburyport business by Dave Rogers. Newburyport. Fantasy nail and spa patrons were in shock Monday afternoon when masked U.S. immigration and enforcement agents stormed inside Low Street business and forcibly removed an employee. In a statement released Tuesday morning, Mayor Sean Reardon said ICE agents entered the business and detained a male employee before leaving the area. We have also received deeply concerning eyewitness accounts that agents entered the business with guns drawn. This was an incredibly frightening and traumatic experience for the employees and customers inside the business, as well as those who witnessed what occurred, Reardon said. When reached by phone, City Marshal Matthew Simons said his department was not involved in the raid. Reardon added that City Hall did not participate in any manner. The City of Newburyport does not condone the manner in which this operation was carried out. Federal immigration enforcement should never come at the expense of the safety and sense of security of an entire workplace or surrounding community, Reardon said. The raid comes 3 days after local police came to the salon Friday afternoon and arrested business owner June Cui of Amesbury on a previous warrant. The warrant for his arrest was issued after a former employee came to the Newburyport Police Department 2 days earlier and accused him of threatening her with physical violence after quitting in July. Cui, spelled Q-I-U, was arraigned Friday in Newburyport District Court on 3 counts of threatening to commit a crime and criminal harassment, and was released on personal recognizance. A search of the ICE detainee locator database shows the 36-year-old Chinese national is now being held at the Wyatt Detention Center in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Obtaining fingerprints and entering them into a national database managed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation is standard procedure during the booking process, a step which may have initiated the raid. Neither Simons nor Reardon could confirm if Cui was the person picked up by ICE on Monday. Reardon went on to assure Newburyport's immigrant population, whether they live or work in the city, that they are valued members of the community. We care about you, and you are a part of what makes Newburyport the welcoming and vibrant city that it is, Reardon said. City Councilor Ben Harmon expressed equal concern, saying he is doubly troubled by how the raid unfolded, particularly for those who were in the business at the time. I am proud to be a part of the community like Newburyport that values everyone who lives and works here. Federal enforcement actions like this raise serious concerns about safety and trust. And while I can't speak to the specifics of the situation, I believe that as a country, we should adhere to the rule of law, ensure due process is followed, and treat all people with dignity and respect, Harmon said. ICE's activity and actions over the last year have drawn widespread criticism across the country. In the wake of the fatal shootings of Alex Preddy and Renee Good by ICE agents in Minneapolis in January, dozens of protesters stood outside the West Newbury home of former acting ICE director Todd Lyons. The killings led to massive demonstrations nationwide as well. An email to ICE seeking comment was not returned by press time. A day after the raid, the store was locked and empty, leaving customers confused as they tried to open the door only to get back to their cars and leave. Just awful, one woman said, as she drove off upon hearing of the incident with ICE the previous day. The Daily News attempted to reach neighboring businesses such as Blink Skincare and Lash Studio, Precision Pilates, and Tiles Gone Wild on what they saw during the incident, but those available at the stores declined to comment. It was awesome. Newbury Town Day draws largest crowd ever, by Caitlin D. Newbury. Newbury Town Day made a triumphant return over the weekend with Saturday's festivities, bringing in the largest crowd in the event's history. The Central Green Bash drew approximately 1,000 people who enjoyed the sunny weather and wandered around the green, much to the delight of the Newbury Cultural Council, which organized the event along with the Recreation Committee and support from the town. It was awesome, Ellen Daly, a member of the Newbury Cultural Council, said of the town day. It was a beautiful day, so that, of course, helped, and people were just really excited. The purpose of the event, which originated in 2022, is to show off everything the town has to offer, and the festivities did just that, with the event consisting of a number of fun activities and live performances. The entertainment was catered to all ages, with children being able to interact with reptiles at a show put on by Rainforest Reptile Shows, and adults having the chance to visit the Artist's Village, which featured numerous vendors selling artisan goods. There was also a performance by local rock cover band Revel Up, which Newbury Cultural Council Chair Robin Lawson said was a massive draw. They loved it, she said. Some people brought coolers and chairs, and they were all sitting down there and having a great time. Along with the smorgasbord of activities and entertainment, the crowd also had the chance to explore tables full of community resources manned by representatives from organizations such as Newbury Town Library and Friends of the Newbury Cultural Council on Aging. Lawson said she was thrilled with the number of people who checked out the resources available, as getting more residents involved in the town aligns with the event's mission. Not only was I impressed and really happy that these people all turned out so enthusiastically and stayed, but the interest in the community resources area was so heartening, she said, because it just demonstrated the interest that people have in learning about Newbury, which is part of our purpose, not just to have fun, but to showcase our town, and so that it was one thing that I was really pleased about. Above all else, when reflecting on the event, Lawson said the Cultural Council was glad to see residents enjoying the festivities and connecting with fellow townspeople. It makes all of us so happy to be able to make so many people happy, she said. Community Steps Up After Massive Fire, by Caitlin D. Salisbury. Days after a 5-alarm fire ravaged homes on Atlantic Avenue, the acrid smell of charred wood and metal remained, but the chaos had died down. On Friday evening, the Salisbury Fire Department responded to a fire at a multifamily home at 24 Atlantic Avenue. By the time first responders were on the scene, the fire had spread to another building, eventually damaging 4 buildings in total and becoming a 5-alarm fire. As a result of the fire, 2 people sustained serious injuries and were transported to an area hospital. Last week's fire comes over 4 years after a 9-alarm fire on the nearby Central Avenue that impacted a motel, apartment building, and single-family homes. On Monday, though the scene had recently been the site of a massive fire that led to a multi-department response, the site was relatively quiet, but much of the exterior of 24 Atlantic Avenue had been blackened. A large metal fence was set up around the home, and many parts of the structure were boarded up. Deputy Chief Andy Murphy of the Salisbury Fire Department was on the scene Monday, and it said the fire's cause is still under investigation. Despite Murphy's presence, Salisbury Fire Chief Scott Carrigan said his department's role is going forward is minimal. We really don't have a lot of involvement with the situation at this point. We turned the property back over to the owners, and it's kind of their responsibility to make repairs or determine the next step as to the status of the property, he said. However, Carrigan said the department could check in with those impacted by the fire to ensure that they are feeling supported after the tragedy. The one role that the fire department might have at this point is just to follow up with any of the residents that were affected and the property owner to see if they need additional support services, he said. Alongside the fire department, a number of local individuals are stepping up to help out the residents of the Atlantic Avenue homes in their time of need. One of those individuals is Joanne Houssianitis, owner of local business Yia Yia's Greek Pastries, who is providing food for those impacted by the tragedy. Houssianitis, who watched the blaze unfold from her nearby home, said she knew she wanted to jump into action. I was thinking, as I was standing there, expecting everyone's going to need some help. And how can I help? I'm a small business owner. What can I do? I said, well, people really enjoy having some food. They may want some comfort food. So I came up with the idea of making spinach pies for all the families and anyone affected in that, as well as Greek pastries, she said. So now, alongside St. Basil's Ministries, the food group of Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Newburyport, Houssianitis will prepare at least 20 spinach pies for those impacted, with local people chipping in via Venmo to help Houssianitis in her efforts. Houssianitis also said any proceeds left over from the community donations will go towards gift cards to places like local grocery stores and CVS. Similarly, Chrissy Dolan, a local personal chef and owner of Badass Brands, is facilitating the collection of donations at three local businesses: Linda's Alpha Omega Beauty Salon, Seacoast Oasis, and Salisbury Discount House. Dolan said each location is collecting gift cards of any kind, clothing donations, toiletries, cash, and checks. Dolan will cook meals for fire victims and allow locals to purchase meals from her at a discounted price that will be delivered to the families. She is also collaborating with local restaurants like Sinaloa Tacos and Tequila, Route 110 Pizza, and a number of others who will also donate meals. For Dolan, the decision to spearhead an effort like this one was a no-brainer, as she has been in the shoes of those who have lost their homes. I was in a house fire when I was a little girl. I was only 5, so it was really traumatic. We lost everything, and it just hits hard, she said. Dolan also said that the community has stepped up to support her in her times of need, and now she is more than happy to do the same for others. I am just so grateful for all the help I received, and I said to everybody, there's going to come a time where I'm going to be able to pay this forward, and here it is, she said. As I see it, setting up a no account by Jack Garvey. Adverse to crowds, I avoid day trips into Boston. I choose not to drive in traffic or fit into subways, but I could not resist a reading of a play in progress titled Private Communications, and I've longed to see The Embrace since it was unveiled on Boston Common in 2022. Drove to Wonderland in Revere, the Blue Line's last stop, parked my Nissan in the lot, and looked up at a sign that read, Pay by phone. I have no cell phone, another stress-avoiding measure of the life I choose to live. Anyway, the website was easy to remember, so I figured I'd easily pay online the next day. Or so I thought. Unable to find an email address or a phone number, I tapped into a chat with a bot, cleverly named Parker, that began by noting that I am in North America. It referred me to the phone number on Wonderland's sign. Unwilling to drive back, I asked the bot for it, only to then read, Pay by phone does not offer a service to pay for parking retroactively or provide phone numbers for past parking sessions. Payments need to be made in real time to avoid any issues. I thanked the bot for its mindless AI response, adding that it would serve as a document to prove I made a prompt effort to pay the fee. Still, I wonder, if we are so diligent in seeing that no one suffers discrimination due to their race, sex, faith, or gender preference, why does a de facto discrimination against those of us who choose to live free of ringtones, algorithms, robots, tracking devices, and AI's crude, vapid, and often childish slop go unnoticed? If we can build ramps for those in wheelchairs, how can we not provide a simple phone number to those more inclined to make and take calls on a landline at home rather than on a mobile device under the summer sun in an unshaded parking lot? At the station here in Newburyport, I found Pay by Phone's number on the parking lot signs. An automated voice, which I could not get past, did not ask for my car's registration. Instead, it asked me to set up an account. Ah, yes. Why not spend a good 15 minutes to type in name, address, date of birth, social security number, and whatever else they need before asking you to create, confirm, and then use a password? Why not? Because I don't want an account. I just want to settle a one-time fee. I hung up and braced myself for word from the MBTA. I resolved to pay for the 7 hours my car sat at Wonderland, but not a cent for any fine, and I prepared to tell them that in a letter addressed to the Massachusetts Barbary Tribute Authority. Would Parker have known the difference? Would it have known American history? Would it relocate me into North Africa? For 2 weeks, I was ready to battle high-tech policy and procedure with simple arithmetic and common sense. So eager was I to make that case that after 2 weeks, I considered going back online and taunting the bot. But my attention turned elsewhere, and 7 weeks passed before a bill arrived in the box at the end of my driveway. So much for high tech, and so much for any fine. An $8 balance is about what I would have paid. I saw mention of a $1 surcharge, but didn't challenge it. So much for my Jeffersonian resolve. Still, what does this do to others who, like me and many other seniors, choose to live simply? Do they worry for a week or two? Do they scrap their plans and drive off? What do tourists do? Many toll roads and bridges have signs telling us that if we lack Easy Pass, we will be sent a bill. So easy they put it in uppercase, E-Z. And yet, for the parking lots, we are supposed to set up an account? As for me, I embraced privileged communications. Little did I know I'd have to endure them. Jack Garvey can be reached at hammlynn@gmail.com or at King Richard's Fair, where he is a strolling minstrel opening Labor Day weekend in Carver. COA hosts Veteran Resource Fair by Matt Petrie, Newburyport. The Council on Aging is aiming to bring the community together to learn about the many resources, programs, activities, and opportunities available to veterans next month with its second annual Port City Heroes Helping Heroes event. We have somewhere around 50 different vendors this year coming in, COA Director Sarah Landry said. The event, set for September 23rd from noon to 1:30 p.m., is open to everyone, not just veterans. We want the whole community to come out and see what services and programs are available, because you may not be a vet yourself or a veteran, but you may have a brother, a sibling, a spouse, or a child that's a veteran, Landry said. And so we want to make sure that the entire community knows what services and programs are and options are available for veterans. COA Program Director Mary Kelly said the event is meant to be a positive and community focused, not about putting veterans in a victim category. Instead, it is about connection, awareness, opportunity, and making sure people know what's out there. We want to highlight both traditional veteran resources and some of the more creative or unexpected ways veterans can connect, participate, learn, have fun, and build community, Kelly said. The COA is still looking for more organizations, nonprofits, businesses, and community groups that would like to have a free table at the event and share information about what they offer. We are especially interested in outside-the-box ideas, including things people might not immediately think of when they think about veteran resources, Kelly said. Examples she provided were emotional wellness and support, animal-assisted programs, horses and equine programs, service and companion animal organizations, outdoor and nature activities, recreation and fitness, art, music, and creative programs, employment and education, volunteering and community involvement, social and peer connection, and other unique programs that can help veterans connect, participate, and enjoy new experiences. The goal is to have a fun, interesting mix of tables and introduce people to resources they may never have heard of, Kelly said. Landry discussed the timing of the event and why they choose to hold it in September. We decided to do it outside of November because typically, with Veterans Day in November, there is a big push for a lot of support and services geared toward veterans. And my thought was, well, veterans need support and services all year long, so we can choose September to do our resource fair, Landry said. Landry said she and Kelly work with Veterans Services Director Kevin Hunt to provide a lunch to veterans who attend. We're working with Jersey Mike's, Landry said, referring to the National Sub Shop. They gave us a very generous discount last year, and they're very good to veterans and working with them again this year. To get involved, reach out to Kelly at mkelly@newburyportma.gov. Adult education. Fall semester coming soon. Newburyport. Newburyport Adult and Community Education announces the kickoff of its fall semester with a variety of new classes. Registration is now open and the semester runs September through November. Learn to play Mahjong, Dungeons and Dragons, or Bridge. cooking classes including hands-on pasta making, sourdough bread baking, and the art of canning. Get outside with a historical walking tour, garden tour, and mindful moments with horses. Many art classes are available, including a crafting, a festive holiday gnome or oyster shell ornament, beginning watercolor painting in florals or coastal New England, try crochet or hand knitting, learn how to manage contractors successfully and repurpose one's life in retirement. Teens can prepare for the SAT test to be held on November 7th with a six-week prep course in English and math. Many courses are limited in size and fill up very quickly, so it's highly recommended to register online early for the best chance of securing a spot. To see the full schedule and to register online, visit NewburyportAdultEd.org. Classes are available to anyone in Greater Newburyport and Southern New Hampshire, ages 15 and up. NACE is also currently accepting class proposals for the winter semester. Those interested in teaching a course, please submit a proposal on the website for consideration. Greater Newburyport Adult and Community Education is a fully self-sustaining program. Its mission is to provide lifelong learning opportunities for all that spark curiosity and connection. For more information, contact GNACE Director Patty St. John at 978-465-1257. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.